Sitting here with Tony Marrero, the co-founder of SoccerPro.com.
Hi, Travis.
How's it going, Tony?
Good, good.
Good. Tony's my boss, and I have lots of nicknames for him, which we won't get into.
Let's not.
But anyway, no, Tony's a great guy, and we're doing some really fun things here at SoccerPro.com, and I wanted to get him on the interview here so he could share his story and some of the things that he's overcome and help the good people of Colombia hopefully do the same. So, Tony, if you don't mind, just tell us how SoccerPro got started and how it all came together.
Sure, and thanks for having me in this series of interviews. I really appreciate
it. In my office?
That's right. Taking time away from SoccerPro work to do this is great. I started in online marketing well before SoccerPro. Worked with a local agency prior to SoccerPro, Vangel Communications, and prior to that, had a company down in Texas. It was I'll call it a boutique marketing office.
Yeah, sounds fancy.
Focused, yeah, it was very, very fancy. Focused on web and print marketing specifically. I did that for about 7 years, and even prior to that, it dealt with some online marketing with another ad agency in Dallas, Texas. So,
you've been at this for over 10 years.
Well over 10 years. Yeah, long time. Since the internet was really
Since Al Gore invented the internet.
That's right. Since it was a viable tool for your marketing. And started SoccerPro in 2004 with a good friend from high school who both of us ended up moving back into Colombia about the same time and saw an opportunity to do something we love. And do something we're good at with a soccer store, and both of us were really excited about it. We started SoccerPro as a retail brick and mortar, and part of the business plan was our website.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, when you first started the store, was the website a part of the plan?
It was a part. It was just a real natural extension of what we could do with soccer specialty as a retail company. And
did you believe that it would be a majority of the business's focus at some point in time, or more of a supplemental to the store?
Yeah, that was the plan.
That was the plan,
and you don't know. What we saw was the potential that, you know, you look at it, one physical store in central Missouri has a certain regional reach and customer base, and you're fixed into that other than some kids that drive through for tournaments and all of that. So with the online business, we had obviously a lot more potential customers. Now, there was more competition, obviously. But
sure, but you weren't scared.
We're not scared. We're not scared at all. Yeah, so we felt like the website could continue to grow and be an important part of what was going to happen with SoccerPro.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. So so you guys started the store and the website in 2004.
Yeah. Site launched about 6 months after the store opened, and it was amazing with the first order we ever received. And I wish I could remember what the product was, but I know when we got that order, it was the greatest, you know, form of justification and affirmation that we're good and we can do something. It was that number one order, and it was to get there was difficult. I mean, we had to figure out software, we had to figure out graphic design and product information, and then all of our marketing, not only to try to sell a product, but also to provide some kind of credibility that SoccerPro.com was a good place to buy your soccer gear. And when we finally convinced somebody to make a purchase, it was awesome. It was awesome.
That is awesome. And that first transaction is always probably the most joyous and scary.
Very scary.
Then you have to fulfill it.
Yeah, then I had to figure out where the boxes were.
Did
I have packing tape? I don't know if I even had packing tape ready. But it was great. So that was back in 04. And we just constantly have been trying to reinvent that site in a way that's positive by learning from the things that we forgot to do, or the mistakes that were made, or the customer surveys and comments and things that we get, that we've been constantly reinventing SoccerPro.
And that really is part of the online journey, is to be actively involved in reinventing yourself to some degree. Well, maybe not reinventing yourself.
Yeah, that's big. Is that too strong of a statement?
That's too strong of a
statement.
But trying things and adjusting and moving forward, seeing what works, right?
Right. And we had a lot of obstacles to overcome.
Let's talk about some of those obstacles, if you don't mind.
Yeah, and Travis, you were good enough to give me the heads up that this would be a topic. And so I started to write down all the obstacles that I remember having to overcome over the past five and a half years. And honestly, the list is enormous. I mean, it's and I don't want to scare anybody, but it just, every obstacle that you have in your non-internet business, whatever you're doing right now in your business, that's a real obstacle as well in online. But you've got some other things to consider with software. And once you get your software selected, you got to figure out how to get your product on the site or your service on the site, and how do you convert it and get traffic, and there were all these things that came up, and then it just seemed endless. And to take a deep breath and say, okay, this isn't overwhelming. The one thing that I thought could be overwhelming, the one obstacle that I would love to suggest that everybody try to conquer is that that if you become stagnant long enough and you're unable to make a decision on what to do next or how to overcome something, and all of a sudden your marketing stops in a way that your customer thinks you're indifferent to them, that you've just decided it's better to not do anything wrong than to do something, that's a big problem. And that's a problem that we've had to overcome too. Is that we wanted to put our best possible design and copywriting and product on the site, and we wanted to be as clever as we could be because we're this small shop, we're competing at a national and international level, and we don't want to make a mistake. Mm-hmm. That slowed a lot of things down.
Absolutely.
And what happens is, and it's not it's not your customer intentionally being mean or saying you're doing something wrong, but when you're indifferent to your customer and you don't communicate consistently, they go away. They forget about you. It's just a matter of you kind of disappear. And so what we found is that we were doing a great job of getting the customer wants. And we got them to the site a lot, and we forgot to continue to communicate with them and following up with them. And that was a big obstacle that we overcame by implementing other marketing techniques, whether it be email or getting into Facebook or other ways. But I feel like if there's one obstacle that has been the biggest difference maker to us that we've overcome or tried to overcome is that we're not indifferent to our customers. We're constantly wanting to be a part of their soccer lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good point that you bring up, and I'm glad you said it, because that's not so much an internet obstacle as just a business obstacle, a business challenge. And what I've been telling people recently is the hardest part of internet marketing is the marketing.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not the internet. And what you're saying is we had a business problem, not an internet problem. And I think a lot of folks are not trying the online game because of this fear of the unknown, or I don't understand it. It's too much going on.
Right.
And really it's, The hardest part is just running a business in general, not so much the internet.
Well, that's a great point. It's an extension of your overall business. It's just it's another sales channel. We have at Soccer Pro a brick and mortar. We have a physical store. We have our customer service answering phone calls and taking orders. We have our website and affiliates. We have other people also trying to sell our soccer gear. And so it's in each way, we have to make sure we're constantly a part of and relevant to our customers' soccer lifestyle.
Yeah. One thing I want to point out, and then we'll move on here. Having the right software for an e-commerce store is so critical, and it's complicated, much, much more complicated than other forms of business that could really get by on just a blog that's free from WordPress, and you can have up and running in a couple hours. And you still did it, and you're here, and it didn't kill you.
Here's a takeaway for anyone who's listening to the interview. We obviously had to overcome an obstacle of software, and we learned that the hard way. Mm-hmm. Software can be very expensive, and you don't want to make a bad choice, because you really can't, you can't be locked into it for quite a long time. We are on our third software platform in 4 years because we outgrew the first one. It was a great startup application for us, and it was a good decision, and we knew we would outgrow it. But our second choice was one, a company that we did not analyze in enough detail, and we didn't ask enough questions. We took for granted that the shopping cart would work, but we didn't ask, well, let me see how many pages there are in that shopping cart.
Right.
We didn't look, we didn't ask enough questions, and we didn't put them to task to show us how they deliver some of the tools they deliver, because it wasn't good enough, and it was expensive, and we got into a contract, and it was very difficult to get out of. So with software, there's two things I recommend. One, ask more questions than you're comfortable asking. You've got to absolutely drill them, ask for references, see examples working, and not only in the front end with the customer sees, but the back office area and the tools you're going to have to use to maintain your website. And then the other is, it's a big job, and I got help. You know, in Columbia, Missouri, we have University of Missouri and a phenomenal business school, and I went there asking for help, and they provided some very ambitious MBA students looking for projects, and I got a team of them to evaluate 30 different software applications, because the next, you know, when I figured out my current software was bad, I had to get out of it, and I had to work quick. I had a team of MBA students as a class project, and evaluating, you know, all these different software applications out there, and it was awesome, and it was free.
Yeah, amazing what happens when you ask for help.
And so I asked for help, and that worked out very well.
Yeah.
I think we ended up with a tool that is delivering what we needed to deliver. It is at a budget that is serviceable. It's still a little bit expensive, but I know that I could spend a lot more money, and we can't do that. So I feel good about it, and I got help doing it. And I would recommend that. Ask for help. Don't go into it like you know what the software is really going to do.
Yeah.
Get as much information.
Let's talk. Obviously, there were some, you know, some painful things to walk through, some struggles. But this is true of any business,
right?
Or everyone would do it, right? But there were a lot of exciting things that have happened, that are happening, in the last, you know, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about some of those? And you came from one order on the website to where we are today.
Yeah.
Can you share some of the excitement along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. It has been a crazy ride. Going online and creating a successful web store, in our case, we're retail, is not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yeah,
it really is.
True.
It is a process that takes, you know, these incremental changes. And what we found is that every time we ratcheted up the number of visitors a day, or we found a new way to get customers to give us a try, we stayed up at that level. We actually increased our business, and we were able to maintain it by continuing to improve the site, and customers saw that. They saw that we were working hard, I believe anyway. And so what happened is, we, over the past 5 years, continued to grow to where we're now really one of the leading online soccer stores in the country. There's one that is actually considerably bigger than us, but they have 25 more years of business behind them than what we do. We're going to get them.
That's
right. But so what happened is, we got the attention of the manufacturers, Adidas and Nike, when we started to show them our growth. And what we were doing is, we were growing at a time when no one else was growing. We were increasing.
When everyone else was down, actually, right?
It is amazing the power of online marketing, in that there is still an overall demand for the soccer product. But the question was, where is someone going to shop? And in a bad economy, people were shopping more. They were looking for the best opportunity, the best deal, or whatever. And so we had the chance to grab market share from the big number one retailer in our market and a lot of the other stores throughout the country. And so because the customers were looking more and we made ourselves visible in, through Google and in other ways, we very quickly have grown our business. And I think the stat that you put out there the other day was 800%.
Yeah, in 2 years.
In 2 years, 800% growth in traffic in 2 years.
That's right, and to the point that we had more demand than we had product for quite some time, right?
And it's and that's
kind of another issue, but
it's a bigger business issue that you got to make sure you've got product to sell, and we're overcoming that as well. But yeah, we've
that's got a good problem to have.
It is. I mean, Nike, obviously a large company, has tagged us as only the second online commerce partner in the country for soccer.
They only have two.
There's only two, and we're one of them because of our ability to manage the way we communicate to our customer, the reach we have out into the soccer community. All of that matches very well with Nike, and they haven't given this kind of designation for many years, and it's only been to one other company. So we're very, very proud of that.
Okay, so Nike makes us an official e-commerce partner, only one of two in the country. We're grabbing market share, growing at a crazy 800% rate over 2 years. And so then what happens? Recent change this summer.
Absolutely. It is a wild ride, and managing that kind of growth in an economy that is bad adds a lot more problems, because it's very hard to get buy-in from the partners you need to help maintain that growth. And we had to learn some lessons this past year that as a marketing story, we were way above everybody else, but we had to manage the business differently. And so we looked for some stability. We were taking such a roller coaster ride through our online business that we needed to level this thing out so it wasn't so erratic. And we found that Soccer Master, a company based in St. Louis, a much larger soccer retailer, in that they have a lot of stores, physical stores. They have a very successful print catalog. They have a very successful team business, and they had about 30 some odd years of retail experience behind them.
Sure.
They needed an online business. They were old school in some respect in how they handled their business. So the reason why Soccer Master liked us, and that these are these old guard guys that don't understand this interweb, what's going on out there. This internet thing is going to go away soon, in their opinion. The reason why they came around is that they saw proof.
Yeah.
They understood that it's viable. It's a viable sales channel, and it was just an extension of what they're doing, and so we had to go through several rounds of conversation, letting them understand what we were doing and why it was working, and it was an interesting process to educate a team of executives with 30 plus years of retail experience that still didn't understand the internet and online commerce.
I remember some of those early conversations and peeling back the curtain on our metrics, in Google Analytics, and showing them all the intelligence you can have online that's unique to online business. Mm-hmm. And I remember there, it was kind of a shock and awe moment, I think, when they were like, really, you can know that level of detail? Mm-hmm. It was a cool thing to show them, and that's my little commercial for the web, because it's so fascinating to take your business online and utilize the free tools that are out there.
I think that's essentially what happened, is they realized the internet and online commerce is another way of selling their product that is real, and it was a way to diversify, how they were distributing their product to the market, and they saw it as a real business venture, as opposed to something that young kids use.
Right.
They needed to understand the power of it. And I think seeing those tools and understanding that you can calculate very cleanly what your return on your investment is, mm-hmm. more so than any other marketing vehicle, is just awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I wanted to talk about a couple of specific examples of things that, you know, we've done together at Soccer Pro and things you did before I started here at Soccer Pro, to give people some concrete evidence of what can happen online, that it's not as scary as it may seem, mm-hmm. that it doesn't have to be as hard or as complex as it sometimes appears to be. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about a few of those.
Sure. two and a half years ago, maybe a little longer than that.
About a couple years ago,
David Beckham.
Yeah, that's a couple years. Yeah.
A couple years ago, David Beckham came on the scene in the United States as a player with Major League Soccer. He became a professional player here in the United States. And David Beckham is an international name. He's obviously very well recognized. And coming to the United States was a big deal. Well, we have obviously the opportunity to sell his jersey with a lot of competition. So we brought in his jersey, and we had to figure out how are we going to get the top rankings so that we can sell as many of these as possible. Yeah. And in a very short amount of time, because the Adidas, who is responsible for the jersey and Beckham's, the license to sell that jersey, released things very quickly. And so we had to react very quickly to it and created a promotion that was able to push us above everybody else, including Adidas and the retailer that's, you know, that time was 100 times bigger than us. You know, we were ranking well above them because of our promotion online, and it had a lot to do with.
Well, little background on that problem, and then we'll talk about what you did. You're talking specifically when someone went to Google and typed in David Beckham jersey. You wanted to show up in the top spot, right?
That's right.
On the left-hand side. Now, the right-hand side is pay-per-click advertising. You can buy your position over there, but the left is what we call an organic listing, meaning that Google decides who's going to be there, okay?
Right.
And the key to that, the number one key at least, the biggest factor is links coming into your site for the term David Beckham jersey, meaning that the phrase David Beckham jersey or some variation of that is in the link pointing to your page, right? So that's kind of SEO in 30 seconds.
That's right. Right.
It's more involved, obviously. So one of the questions we always get is, well, how do you rank for something, or how do you rank for my business or this term? Well, that's how. And the follow-up question is, well, how do I get links? Do I have to buy them? Do I have to, you know, how does that happen? And how do I get them fast? Yeah. So insert story.
And without going into great detail on the promotion, what we did is we motivated soccer bloggers or fan sites or whoever we could that would be interested in David Beckham coming to the United States with a contest to link to us and go to a contest page, and we turned that contest page into a landing page for David Beckham jersey. Mm-hmm. And the site became very relevant to the phrase David Beckham jersey, mm-hmm. and Beckham jersey and David Beckham Galaxy jersey and all those things. Very, very quickly, within 72 hours, Google saw and adjusted the ranking so that we were at the top.
Yeah, and I think 2 years later, we're still number one for that page.
I think that's right. Yeah, we just left it up there.
That's right.
So it is possible, and the nice thing about the internet is the playing field is level. It doesn't matter your size of company. They don't look at the balance sheet or your total revenue and determine what your rankings will be. They look at relevance,
right,
as a big indicator, I'm sure, mm-hmm. among other things. That made it possible for Soccer Pro, even a couple years ago, to rank above everybody else for something as competitive as David Beckham jersey.
Right, and in the mind of that searcher, when you rank above company A, B, and C, you're more relevant just by default. It's kind of a social proof thing. Well, Google says they're number one, so they must be
Yeah, exactly. Right? And the decision was be targeted, know the terms that will motivate, you know, someone's motivated to buy. Mm-hmm. We knew that if you type in David Beckham jersey at that time, you were motivated more than likely to buy that jersey. Mm-hmm. And those, you know, we were very specific in the terms we were going after and managed that as best we could. So it wasn't like we had to deal with 1,000 different terms. It was
one specific term. And I really want to break this down just for local businesses because, you know, I've been asked the question before, well, I don't even show up for my company name when somebody goes to Google and types in my company. This would be a great way for people and an easy way for people to rank for at least their own company and hopefully some of their services that they provide locally. Mm-hmm. Is come up with a creative way to incentivize other people online to link to your site mm-hmm. for a term, your business name or whatever. I mean, it could be anything. We just did it again recently with another promotion, right? With the Homeless World Cup t-shirt.
Right.
And we partnered with a charity organization and we were selling these t-shirts and the proceeds went to the charity. And just on goodwill alone, pretty much, we had over, I think it was 50 or 60 links coming into that page within a week. Mm-hmm. If local businesses had 50 or 60 links for their business name, I'd bet money they'd rank pretty fast. Right. And that wouldn't be that hard.
And people will search for your business name to find you. Even if they know your web address, they will go into Google, and we have people that type in Soccer Pro to find soccerpro.com.
Right.
It's easier to hit enter in the search box than it is to type in .com.
Right.
You know, in the address bar. So
yeah.
It is important, I think, to get your company's name ranked.
Yeah.
Highly.
Yeah, it is. It's a credibility issue if you're not showing up in Google or Yahoo or whatever engine for your own company name.
Yeah.
It could be a little ding in your credibility.
No, I think that's a good case study on how a small company can make a big splash online, as long as it's, you know, we're targeted, mm-hmm. we were strategic, and it was well executed.
Yeah, so. The other one we talked about recently, because it just happened recently, was Facebook advertising, right?
Phenomenal.
Folks are struggling with how to advertise online, how to get the attention mm-hmm. of prospects or customers when there's so much activity going on. Facebook is an interesting place as of the last year or two to really grab some customers' attention.
Facebook has the unique position that they know everything about all of their members. I mean, they know what you like, they know who you know, they know where you've been. I mean, it's a little bit scary, but it is a phenomenal marketing tool because we can go in and say, I just want you to show my ad to people that like, in this case, David Beckham jerseys.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. It can be very, very targeted and easily managed so that you can run an ad for a day, a week, a month, and know exactly what happened. And you just have to make sure you can measure the success of that ad. How is it going to be successful for you? How is it going to fail for you? You know, when do you know you need to turn it off? And we did that with a Facebook ad recently to drive fans.
As far as the demographics, you can go beyond just this person's a David Beckham fan. You can say, I only want to show it to males or females in a certain age group, in a certain geographic location, mm-hmm. Et cetera, right?
Right.
And we were able to acquire as many fans in 1 week as what had taken us 4 months.
Right.
To acquire prior to that advertisement.
And even better is that it is a paid pay-per-click, you know, ad. You, if someone clicks on that ad in Facebook, you pay a certain fee. But by the nature of Facebook, it's all about networking. Mm-hmm. So the individual that clicked on the ad and became a fan of mm-hmm. Soccer Pro's mm-hmm. fan page in Facebook shared it with their friends.
Exactly.
And we saw what was 50% more fans come in to our fan page than actually clicked on the ad.
Right.
Yeah. There's obviously a lot of sharing going on. That's the whole idea of viral marketing. But that's just the nature of a network, and that there's a lot of that sharing going on. And if you have an exciting or a relevant fan page for your customer, then they're going to share it with the other people that what would want to know about you.
Yeah, and the real value for us was we don't go onto Facebook to hard sell people. We're on there just to extend relationship and be involved with people on a hopefully a daily basis, to have top of mind share. Occasionally we throw out a promotion. We do more contests probably than anything. But giving that we are on there to really just soft sell, we knew what those visitors were worth in terms of revenue per month, right? And so we figured out based on that how much can we afford to pay per click, and it was a profitable equation for us. And the takeaway for local businesses here again to bring it back to folks that might be new at this or whatever is even if you don't have a website, you could go on Facebook, start a page right now, and within an hour have it set up, throw out an ad, and have hopefully, you know, a few hundred fans within a week.
There are some great companies in town that are already doing this. Randy's Custard over by Shakespeare's West has a Facebook page. I'm a fan, and I love it.
I'm a fan of Randy's Custard.
He doesn't abuse it. He just gets it out there. But you know, it's helping his business, and it's easy because I want to know if something's going on, and he tells me, and it's great.
So yeah, Facebook advertising is a really good option for people to kind of dip their toe in the waters of internet marketing, and without, you know, spending a lot of money or a lot of time. Obviously, there are other things you can do, but we're not going to talk about those today because, well, it's been 35 minutes or so, and
it's time to get back to work.
Yeah, I think we're checking
that's
out.
That's right.
So, thanks for joining me today, Tony. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I really appreciate this opportunity. It's been a lot of fun. I hope we can do this again. I'm looking forward to your next interview. I understand you have Brant Bukowski.
Yeah, Brant, if I can pin him down. He's kind of a busy guy.
Absolutely. Well, at any rate, it is fun and hopefully great information. I hope somebody learns something in the 35 or 40 minutes they spent with us.
Well, I hope so too. And if they have questions, they're welcome to email somebody. They can email me for sure. You're open to that too, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can send me an email at tony@soccerpro.com.
Yeah, and travis@soccerpro.com will have a similar effect.
That's right.
In getting the email spread around. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Okay.